It is the season of the snow tire for bison hunting, and as of today, for quarterly profits and losses.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From 8 p.m. in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. As is a Wall Street tradition, the first big quarterly profit report of the season is Alcoa, the aluminum concern that reports results later today. Alcoa used to be one of the components of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, but is no longer. However, as Mitchell Hartman reports, Alcoa has been on a roll.
The name Alcoa still conjures up aluminum smelters and smokestacks, but the company's products are sexier than they used to be. Alcoa's components go into Ford's new lightweight pickup truck.
Unless you've been living under a rock, you know that this is the truck of the future because its body is made of aluminum.
And Alcoa's expanded into high-performance parts for jet engines, too, says Morningstar analyst Andrew Lane.
We have a very positive outlook for Alcoa's earnings over the next couple years.
Low oil prices are helping Alcoa because aluminum is an energy hog to make. But there's a downside, too, in plummeting gas prices.
The use of aluminum materially improves fuel efficiency, but given the steep decline in oil prices for the consumer at the pump, an all-aluminum vehicle is going to obviously have a less attractive value proposition.
Alcoa kicks off an earnings season that's expected to deliver an average 4.5% increase in profits for companies in the S&P 500. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And now an update on Greece, where democracy sometimes seems at odds with Europe's insistence that Greeks suffer through years of austerity to pay the bills. A general election is on the way this month, and a left-wing party is promising to renegotiate terms of Greece's debt if it gets in. The present government is now responding in an effort to hold on to power. BBC business reporter Nigel Cassidy is following all of this from London. Nigel, good morning.
Hello there.
So the Greeks have this election, and now there's talk about, what, easing a bit on these strict measures that have made people so unhappy in Greece?
Well, yes. The vote is potentially very close, 28% for Syriza, the potential contender from the left, 25.5% for the party currently in power. So I guess that Antonis Samaras, the leader of the party in power, is almost trying to cut the rug from under the other side by promising no more pension and wage cuts, almost effectively saying there'd be a bit of an end to austerity. But of course, he would have the same problem as the other side. He's actually got to deliver on that with the European and IMF lenders breathing down his back.
But there's a lot at stake here. I mean, it's possibly the future of Greece's role within the Eurozone.
Europe has been building up its defences. Nonetheless, the stakes are very, very high. And I think that's why, as we've got closer to the election, there's been a lot more talk now of a possible six-month extension to give the new party in power a bit more time, perhaps a new credit line for Greece. So there's going to be some very tense weeks of negotiation when this new government has got to come to some arrangement with its international lenders.
The BBC's Nigel Cassidy in London. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
During these short winter days, if only somebody could write out a prescription for happiness. The people who produce Yes magazine have just published a collection of essays about rethinking our economic and social relationships. Yes co-founder and executive editor Sarah Van Gelder compiled the book called Sustainable Happiness, Live Simply, Live Well, Make a Difference. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, David. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Tell me about the idea of this book. One of the American sacred cows that it takes on is this idea that consumerism fixes everything. If we need happiness, we need healing for some reason, you could buy a solution. And this book rejects that.
That's right. And, you know, the scientific research backs this up. There's a certain level of material comfort that is required for happiness. But beyond that, more material consumption actually doesn't bring about happiness. And one thing that the science shows is that more inequality actually reduces happiness for everyone.
Part of the book that stood out for me was the idea that if we're searching for well-being, happiness, sometimes we don't have to go very far. We could look around our own neighborhoods.
That's right. One of my favorite stories also is about what happened when a mom and her son are walking down the street in their own neighborhood. She sees his eyes light up when he sees in a neighbor's garage – this metal workshop. And the mom helps the boy and the neighbor connect, and pretty soon he's coming in there after schools and, you know, helping out and learning all sorts of stuff. And she starts thinking, you know, I wonder how many other young people there are in this neighborhood feeling disconnected, and how many older people are in this neighborhood with skills that they would really love to share.
And this is what they found, right? I was looking at the list. A juggler, someone who knew a lot about barbecuing, bookkeeping, hunting, haircutting, bowling, investigating crimes, writing poems, fixing cars, choral singing. There was a saxophonist. It sounds like there was a lot of talent in that neighborhood.
And they started putting those talents together so that there could be an exchange. And suddenly what was, you know, a neighborhood where people may have felt isolated and a little alone, and suddenly there's all this wealth unleashed because all of those skills and talents were there to be had.
Sarah Van Gelder, co-founder and editor-in-chief of Yes Magazine. She's editor of a collection called Sustainable Happiness. The subtitles, Live Simply, Live Well, Make a Difference. Sarah, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And you know about MOOCs, the massive online open courses that could revolutionize higher ed if you could get students to stick with them. There's news that the publisher Simon & Schuster is getting into that game with online video courses from some popular authors. The New York Times reports that health, self-help, and finance will be key areas. No, the courses will not be free. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.